Does everyone have a sheet?
Does this remind you of school?
Everyone have something to write? Because we'll be filling in the blanks.
I've always loved
school. So if you don't have anything to write, just raise your hand and a kind Christian will come and provide the necessary elements. Okay, so number one. So you need to hold your sheet on the right side. Okay, there are two sides. So it starts with number one, obviously. Yeah, you were right, Matthias. He's all puzzled. Fasting comes from food absence. What is it? Sting to the flesh, exactly. Does everyone know what a sting is?
No.
No? So when a bee, do you know what a bee is? A bee comes, it stings you. Okay? And it loses its life because it has to surrender half of its body, which is not very funny. Wasps don't have to die when they sting, but bees do. And one day we'll ask Jesus why. Okay. So let's go to point number two. I love when you preach or teach, you can always do two things. You can look at the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and you can look to Jesus for inspiration, and you'll always be good. So let's see. Let's see what happens with fasting pertaining to the Bible. I'm getting all tangled in this cable. So at the beginning, God created us. Okay? So that was the first step, creation. God said, it is good, and it was good. So he created us. And then he interacted with us through communion. Communion or communication. The relationship, the intimacy. And so God created our five senses. Do you know what your five senses are? How you can see, smell, feel. Okay. And so our senses were created so we could commune with God, that we could interact with him, that we could have this relationship, this conversation, this dialogue with God. But all of a sudden, something happened. Do you remember what happened? Well, you weren't there, so you can't really remember, right? Me neither. But yes, the fall. So there was like an intoxication. There's rupture. Okay, things went wrong. And what happened with the fall is that we started using our senses for stimulation. So instead of using our senses like we were perfectly created to be able to interact with God, because of the fall, because of the broken relationship, because sin entered our lives, then our senses were not functioning properly anymore. They were intoxicated, so we could not commune in a holy way. And so our senses, now instead of being tools to encounter God, have become tools for sinning, you know, and also encountering God, of course. But they are not used as they were purposed for. And so, of course, Jesus came and he gave the solution. So the redemption. So salvation is immediate. Is there really no way to have another mic? Are we stuck with that? Yeah, if you could try. Thank you so much. And if not, it's okay. Yeah, I'll try to. So then redemption came. So as you know, salvation is free, but sanctification costs us everything. So we can enter into heaven, but then we're called to be sanctified, and it's a process day after day. And so it's the same with our senses. And so there's a choice that we have for activation. For discipline. For the process of purification. And submitting our flesh and our body to the will of God. With our senses. And the purpose of all of this is, of course, the fascination and the joy. Thank you so much. Whoa, hands. I'd like to give a hand for all the sound tech crew, the screens, all the logistics that we don't see when it works, but when it doesn't work, we're prompt to complain. Okay, and so the ultimate goal is this fascination. Fascinated by the beauty of God, by Jesus. In the book of Revelation, you have these beasts covered with eyes, and they're amazed by what they see. And so they open and they close their eyes, and for a whole eternity, they're like fascinated with their senses, and here it's their eyes, it's their vision. So I think it's good, before we start talking more details about fasting, to understand the big picture, okay? So our body is not bad, it has been given by God, but it is not working as it's been intended to work. So all these senses were made for us to encounter the one true living God. And actually, what I'd like to talk a little bit about is this stimulation part and the inner life. So what's the difference? Point three. What's the difference between what the world offers us, what our flesh wants, and the purpose, the intention, the original intention of God as He created us? So if we look at 3A, when we focus on ourselves, when we focus on our needs, on our lacks, on our desires, on our wishes, when we are not renewed, we are thinking short term. And the fasting lifestyle, having a vision for your life, for my life, is focused on the long term. So of course we have to, you know, take care of today. It's not like we're irrelevant for today, but our eyes are fixed on the long term and even longer for eternity. So those are things you can put in the line A. I won't be writing them down just because of a lack of place, unless I erase it later. So in our lives, we are called to think of the big picture, the long term, the eternity. Point B, the stimulation brings deception. Okay? So each time we use our senses, not to glorify God, but to glorify ourselves, we are led into deception or lies. And through sanctification, through a fasted lifestyle, we want to encounter joy and peace and success in Christ. Point C, with stimulation in our lives, like always having to have a screen, always having to eat, always having to have a lot of noise, always having to be entertained, all those things lead to more and more. And you can find this proverb that says, do you want to quote it, Mike? The leech The leech has two daughters. I think it's this thing that sticks to you and sucks your blood. And so it has two daughters, and it did not have a lot of creativity. So it called the two daughters more and more, or give and give. Does that make sense? So there's no, it doesn't. Who said no? Daniel. So in Proverbs, it explains different elements of things that you can never satisfy. It's like a bottomless cup. Imagine you have someone with a big cup and it's never full because it's bottomless. That's the idea. And so she just called her two daughters give and give because it's never enough. And sometimes you can encounter people like that and it's really sad. You want to lead them to Jesus, but they just want to hang to you, you know. So why were we talking about that? More and more. And with Jesus, he satisfies. Okay? So Jesus can truly satisfy. And it's really interesting because he says that he will give this water, this overflowing water, this water of life, and we will no longer thirst because we find in him all our sources. But at the same time, we always want more of Jesus. So it's interesting to see the tension. Then point, yes? A little bit louder, please. The proverb, I don't have it here, but we could find it. Yeah, Old Testament, Proverbs. Mike? Okay. We'll have it. Destruction. So this stimulation when we're trying to find satisfaction with our senses, it will bring destruction instead of growth, instead of fruit, instead of blossoming. Instead, Jesus offers growth, blossoming, fruits. Someone has it? 30:15. Thank you. Point E, ultimately this destruction will lead to death and Jesus brings life. Life and resurrection. F, when we seek for comfort in the earthly things, it is a response to a lack or a need. That's at the base of economy. It's just studying the need, the lack of people, and trying to satisfy it. And so in Jesus Christ, in a fasted lifestyle, we are seeking not only to answer lack, but first of all, we're seeking for eternity, and we have a strategy and a long-term vision. So we are proactive. We're not just trying to fill in a hole that we have. We are not reacting to a cry of our body or our flesh. When we opt for stimulation, point G, we are looking for an immediate satisfaction, then a disgust sometimes, and an absence. When we choose a fasted lifestyle, we are looking for the long term, we are building, and it is fully satisfying. And it is not only linked to our emotions, but it's part of this vision and lifestyle. So there is very often a delay between what we do and the recompense. And some of the rewards we'll only receive after our life. Age dependence is replaced by freedom. Freedom in Christ, the truth that frees us. So this is an invitation to freedom. Does everyone have a sheet? Okay, because we still have some here. And finally, point E, the fruit is for ourselves in stimulation and has a bitter taste. And with Jesus, the fruit is for others to taste, also for us, but for the benefit of the body of the ecclesia, for the bride. And there is no bitter taste to it. It feeds us. It becomes part of us. Does that make sense? Okay, so we've described how our senses were made and what happened. We've described this invitation into higher pleasures, into the fasted lifestyles. And we've seen the difference between stimulation that we can have with lower pleasures and that we can have in Jesus Christ. So at this point, I'd like to give a short testimony on my fasting history. It's really not fancy. So I used to be in this local church and part of the leadership. And from time to time, they would put up a fast. And so I had no vision for fasting. I didn't really understand it. So I did it a few times, and then I just pretended I was fasting, or I was just avoiding them to ask any question, because there wasn't really the teaching that was going with it, or there wasn't like the community aspect. Of course, we can fast on our own, but when you do it together, it's so much easier. And when I'm talking about fasting, in the Bible, it talks primarily of fasting food. So that's really the big concept, it's the main point. But as Christians, we also want to embrace all different kinds of fasting, you know, fasting TV, fasting social media, fasting entertainment, fasting, okay? So it's also a broader concept. But at the heart of the message, it's really about food. So we can't just say, oh, I'll just fast anything else than food, because I think there's really something in the food that drives us crazy. But then we don't want to limit it only to food, because we want to have a lifestyle of fasting. So we want to do it in different realms. So in 2011, I went to IHOP U with our family for 2 years. 5 children, 17 suitcases, a dog and a cat. It was quite interesting. And there, they were very intentional about teaching us how to fast and how to do it and how to have a vision for it, the rewards of fasting, what it meant. So there was really a culture of people who had been doing it and who knew how to teach about it and to make it, you know, interesting and challenging and biblical. So I was in this friendship group with other guys. I was the oldest. I was 40. They were between 17 and 20, 21. I could have been their father. By the way, I was at IHOP U with my eldest son. So we were together, but that's another story. And people always thought we were brothers. And so that was funny. Because Mike is our eldest son here, but we have two other older sons. They're in Quebec now, and they're married. And so people would come to us and think we're brothers, and we would tell them, no, I'm his father, you know, actually. And they were all surprised, and whoa, that's incredible. And when they finally believed us, we would tell them, no, it's not true, we're really brothers, you know. So they were totally confused. And at this day, I think some of them still don't know if we're brothers. So we fast with this friendship group. And so we're going to do it next week. Okay, we talk about it, blah, blah, blah. And then finally the day comes and we're meeting. And all these guys come up with their protein shakes and their liquids and all the substitutes, you know, to fasting. I think some of them even took more protein than if they had eaten a regular meal. But it was just so funny. It was so weak and broken, you know. It was just baby steps and starting. And I had a little bit of experience, as you heard, about fasting. And I was like, oh, this fast is amazing. They are suffering so much more than me. I can really make it, you know. Having all these guys suffer in their fast and take all those. So that was kind of my experience with fasting and how it brought a new vision to my life. And then, well, the friendship group, you know, started maturing and growing and fasting. So then I started choosing to fast twice a week. So that's kind of my commitment. I fast for lunch twice a week. It's just a commitment that keeps a discipline and a choice. And I thought I would get used to it, but every time I reach to Monday, because I do it Monday and Tuesday, I hate it even maybe more. It's like when we arrived here, you know those stairs and the elevator that's broken? After 3 days, Johan was like, the leader who introduced me, he was like, oh, I'm already getting used to these stairs. It's really easy now. And I was like, no, I'm not getting used to them. Each time I go up, you know, I'm panting and it's hard. So I'm not sure you get used to the stairs and I'm not sure you get used to fasting. But it definitely is a muscle and it definitely is a blessing. And we'll see how it's an act of obedience too. And because it's an act of obedience, it's an act of love. Does that make sense? If you look up love in the Bible, apart from 1 Corinthians 13, it's a lot of acts of obedience in changing our ways into behaving and being Christ-like. Does that make sense? So it's really important that we have a vision for fasting. It's really important that we do it in a free way. And it's really important that we understand it's an invitation. So we can do it together to help each other. And I think the Bible really emphasizes the fact that our fasting should always be done with a lot of joy and some perfume and cologne in some situations. So the Bible tells us, you know, if we're fasting, that we don't look like we're fasting, because then we already get our rewards because people are like, oh, you're fasting. That's amazing. That's really cool. So I told you I was fasting, but it was more in a teaching purpose. You get it? And by the way, I'm not doing it during Crescendo just because it's the holidays. And sometimes when you stop doing something for a period of time, then you can start it with even more strength afterwards. And it's probably what I'm going to do in the fall. Does that make sense? Okay, great. Let's look at point four. And we're going to look at Matthew 9, 14 to 17. Matthew 9, 14 to 17. Then the disciples of John came to him, so came to Jesus, and they said, why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? F-A-S-T. And Jesus said to them, can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? So there's like a season. By the way, the Bible is very clear that fasting is not just an invitation. It's like when you fast. It's not if you fast. So the Bible says when you fast, but it's still an invitation because we can, you know, respond with our heart. We can say yes or no to it. You're still saved even if you don't fast. Does that make sense? So let's look at point five, times and seasons. So I tried to put this passage in a little grid, this spreadsheet. So let's go from the left to the right. So there's the season before Jesus. So some people put it at minus 4,000. And then there's with Jesus from 0 to 33, approximately, because not everyone agrees on those dates. Then there's after Jesus, which is our time. And then we'll be with Jesus again. Does that make sense? Do you understand this? Okay. So back in the days, if we take the first column before Jesus, fasting was mainly when you would mourn. When someone was dead or there was a hard situation, there were sufferings, you would fast. And the coming of the Messiah is prophesied in Isaiah 9:6. Then with Jesus, when the disciples are with Jesus, Jesus says, they're not going to fast when they're with me because we're celebrating. And so he says, no fasting, but celebrating. It's the passage that we just read before, Matthew 9. So there was a time to fast before Jesus, and then Jesus is there, so they celebrate. And the people who were used to fasting, they're like, why aren't they fasting anymore? So they're used to fasting, but they see Jesus, who's pretending to be the Son of God, and they're not fasting. So they're all messed up and puzzled. And Jesus says, can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? So Jesus is saying they are with the bridegroom. So he's proclaiming, I am the bridegroom. And because we're together, we're not going to fast. Because fasting is there to mourn a loss, a suffering, a death. And here I am with my disciples alive. And so it's a shift of paradigm. And they need to understand what's happening. And so they can rejoice and they can celebrate. And so the tricky part, because it took me years to understand this passage. I'm not saying I understand everything, but it's just lately that I've started understanding it. The tricky part is that when Jesus leaves, he says, I'll send you the Holy Spirit, which he did. And so we can be like, you know, the Holy Spirit, he's Jesus, he's God. You know, the Trinity, three in one. And so we could be like, well, he lives in me, so Jesus is in me, so I still don't have to fast, which kind of makes sense. But at the same time, Jesus is not with us anymore. And our desire should be to long after his return. And I don't take that for granted because I know my own life. You know, got converted, went to church, this is what you do, this is what you don't do, growing, having children. And having this thought of longing for Jesus or his return, it was kind of like, well, it's probably not tomorrow, so it can still wait. But this is an invitation to long for Jesus' return. This is an invitation to say things are not okay because Jesus is not with us anymore. It's not okay that he's not with us. We want him to be with us because it's just so different when Jesus is with us. So, of course, we have the Holy Spirit in us who dwells in us. The Father is in heaven sitting on his throne and Jesus at his right hand. But we want Jesus to come back. And this is part of the package as we do worship with the Word, intercession, as we say, come, Lord Jesus, come. The Spirit and the Bride say, come, come. This is part of our longing. And it gives us a vision that we do not want to be comfortable as long as Jesus is not back. And it's okay to suffer. It's okay to have a lack. It's okay. So all these elements that Christianity, and it's totally right to pray for healing. It's totally right to pray if we have fear. It's totally right to pray if we don't have peace. But there are some longings and some achings that we'll never get rid of because things are not okay until Jesus comes back. And this keeps us alive. This keeps us relevant. Because our society is all about comfort in this day. And it's easy to understand why. Imagine you only have one life. And you only have one life for your children. So think of the whole economy. It will be based on comfort, on security. Even the cars have to be so secure. Because if you die in a car, you have zero hope. Because you only have one life. And even in the schools, there are all these rules, and you can be sued if you didn't take care of the children properly, if you went to the swimming pool. I know a story about a child who drowned. And people go so big to find the person to blame, to find the guilty person. And I can still understand it. I'm not saying it's all wrong. But there is such an emphasis on today, on having only one life, that the whole mindset is distorted. Even in terms of your privileges or your rights, you will fight till the end. If you don't have hope, you will fight till the end. You are even ready to die to keep your privileges and your rights because it's the only thing you have. So sometimes we need to understand those who have no hope. Because we're not better than them, we are weak and broken. Tell your neighbor, I'm weak and broken. This is also something I picked up at IHOP, to just declare I'm weak and broken. It's so helpful. I'm a man and I make so many mistakes. And it's okay. I don't want to stay like that. I want to improve through sanctification. So Jesus Christ is taking care of me. I'm a work in progress. Tell your neighbor, I'm a work in progress. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you didn't see me yesterday. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you didn't see, because yesterday it was worse. So fasting in this context is not just putting aside a few days to stop eating. Fasting is a lifestyle of choosing communion with God, of choosing what leads us to God, of choosing the spiritual disciplines over the pleasures of this world, even if they're not sin. So this is a tricky part. God gave us the creation, you know, to steward it. We don't possess it, but we steward it. He is the one who owns it. And he gave us those pleasures. A sunshine, a nice food, friends. But he's calling us to not be so satisfied in those things than being satisfied in him. Because what happens if you're full of TV, if you're full of entertainment, if you're full of fashion and new clothes, if you're full of blah, 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 and food, then you're not hungry for something else. So fasting and the fasted lifestyle is an invitation to be hungry and to be thirsty. It's an invitation to weakness and saying it's okay to be weak. It's okay to not be fully satisfied. As evangelicals, you've probably all heard this metaphor. We all have a hole in our hearts and it has the shape of God. Have you heard that? And so our story is that God comes in our hearts, you know, and he fills this hole. But at the same time, as long as we're on earth, this hole will never be filled. Because it's not okay that Jesus is not with us. And so, don't get me wrong. In terms of peace, we shall always have a peace. A total peace, a peace that surpasses all our understanding. In terms of joy, we shall always have a full joy. But at the same time, we're mourning for Jesus to come back. So is it either or? No, it's both. And it's more. That's not from me. Not that smart to quote things like that. So is it either or? It's really both and it's more. So it's to a higher level. Do you guys understand that? And so what happens is that when we stop being comforted by the things of the world and we start embracing, you know, more time in the Word, more time in the arts for Jesus, more time in a Bible study, more time with Christians, you know, what starts happening is that we're not feeding this lack that we have. And there's a tension because we don't have the recompense and the rewards yet. Because it's a muscle that we need to work. And we need to fall and stumble and then to stand again. The difference between a loser and someone who wins is not the times that he falls, it's the times that he stands back again. So as we pursue these higher pleasures, there's a tension because we're not getting the satisfaction that we used to have. We're so used to filling in the holes. Even with time, oh, I have 5 minutes, I can quickly do this. Oh, I'm hungry, I can quickly eat this. Oh, I'm lonely, I can quickly call this person. And so it's really an invitation to less, but it's an invitation to more. Does that make sense? Because we believe that as we fast, it'll be so hard, you know, and we'll suffer. But we are called to embrace the sufferings. I like what Justin Rizzo said yesterday evening about those 28, those 30 years where we don't know much about Jesus. And he spent every second of his life on earth, simple human being, and he learned. He had to learn through sufferings. He had to learn the patience. So this is really an invitation to higher pleasures and to better, not to worse. But it gets worse at the beginning, right? Like every good story. A good story, you know, the hero is good, then something happens. It gets worse, but then it gets way better at the end. Does that make sense? So it's really a lifestyle that we're pursuing. But again, when the Bible talks about fasting, it is food. It's not just a metaphor. Because in our society, food is an idol. We idolize. Like one of the hardest things we experienced as a family from Switzerland. So Switzerland is in the heart of Europe. Okay? And so in the south, we have Italy. On the north, we have France and Germany. And we just take their food. And then we take their cooks. So they come and they open pizzerias in Switzerland and they make the best food ever. So being missionaries, one of our hardest challenges was the food. Because you arrive in America and it's different. May the reader understand. Oh, how many times did I complain? And I still do. And I need to repent about the food. It's like you worked hard and you deserve a good food. So you want it, you know. And the Bible says when the servant is done serving, what does he do? At the end of the day, what does this Bible passage tell us? He serves the boss before. Someone else? Yeah. Then he goes and serves the meal to his boss. Exactly. So each time that we think, I deserve this, you deserve no nothing. That ain't true. We deserve nothing. And so it's fasting our privileges or our rights. Have you ever thought of growing in humility as fasting your rights or privileges? Fasting is amazing. A fasted lifestyle, and there are different people in this room who could testify about this fasted lifestyle. So let's turn the page and go to point six. Why do we need a vision for fasting? Please answer one at a time with one word. I only want one word. Why do we need a vision? Yes? Excellent. So just to put it with what I wrote before, it's the long-term vision. A vision for fasting, for a fasted lifestyle, because we want to still be doing it in 5-15 years, and not just the 2 weeks after Crescendo, because Eric taught about it. Amen? I prefer you not doing it the two next weeks. And looking it up, you can still do it, Matthias. And then have a conviction. It's even healthy, exactly. Someone else. Amen. It's choosing weakness, and it's okay to be weak. So if your head starts hurting, if you have stomach aches, if your mouth breath is really horrible, that's okay. And we're not used to that. Well, if you're working with people, you can take a gum. But it's okay. We want to chase away everything that is suffering in our societies. Yes? Vulnerability. Yeah, goes with humility. Being vulnerable. Yes? A passion, exactly. A passion. Pardon me, a little bit louder.
I would say passion is better, but I would say pleasing.
Pleasing, pleasure, higher pleasure, exactly. Yeah, it's two words, that's true. That's okay. Someone else. Why have a vision for fasting? How is it helpful to not just do it? Which is still okay, you know? That's how I started. It was an act of obedience. Okay, it's written in your word. It's written when you fast and not just if you fast. So I'll do it. And that's still okay, you know? There are different levels of revelation and understanding. The longing, exactly. A longing. Love out of love. Exactly, and I'll just put it with obedience. Yes, focus. Exactly, that's really good. Focus. Because that is a huge challenge to keep focusing. There's this passage in Isaiah which says, take the dust, you know, off. And dust is really something that comes all the time. Like, we would be so dusty if we stayed here for a month without moving. But we move and we put our clothes to the laundry, but it comes all the time. It's not like something that you can stop. There are some rooms in some factories where they make high-tech Swiss watches. Well, maybe in other places too. But they are without dust, or very little dust, you know? But we are living in a place where there's dust constantly coming us and making us dull. Someone else?
Yes, wine.
Wine. So the joy?
Yeah.
The joy. Wine. Exactly. So it goes with more, like with the spirit. Yes, it goes with the longing, right? Someone else? Deeper, exactly. Do we have intimacy? Deeper? What do we have? The focus, the passion. Trying to put them together. Deeper. Intimacy. So as you see, you can totally be a Christian, you know, be saved, but choosing to live with a low relationship with the Lord. And what happens is that we're all in a river. And if we don't progress, then we go with the flow. We're like salmons. Do you know what they do? From the sea, they swim up. So this is what happened. We're in the current of the world. And so not progressing is actually going backwards. Does that make sense? Okay, I'll take one or two. Maybe some aspects that we haven't seen yet, please. Impact. Can you describe that? Exactly.
And
yeah.
Insight.
Yeah. Okay, one at a time. We have revelation, insight, and breakthrough. I need to place them. Okay, so revelation. Where would we put that? With the intimacy, probably. Revelation. Insight. And then breakthrough. Yes, so I'm not talking about all the different kinds of fasting. You know, the Daniel's fasting, the 40-day fasting. I'm really not good at that, so I'm not going to teach on that. So there is a place for fasting with a breakthrough, you know. And I'm not talking here about the fasting so this can happen or I can get a job, which are still totally okay. I just want to mention that I didn't mention it. So some people maybe know Lou Engel. They do 40-day fasts for nations, for breakthrough, and that is totally legit. And there are teachings on that, so I didn't go to that place. Okay? So this is a deliberate choice on my part. Different kinds of fasting. So that is totally legit. This is like a lifestyle of fasting, and fasting with food is part of it. Does that make sense? Just so that you're like, but I've heard different things about fasting. It's okay. We don't have to cancel all that has been heard. We're just trying to get into something new or different that you haven't maybe heard or experienced. So revelation, intimacy, and breakthrough. Exactly. So we want big breakthroughs, and then we also want everyday breakthroughs. Does that make sense? Just waking up, just being focused. Okay, great. So I really love the impact aspect, and it's one of the many, you know. But it's like with the prayer room. I can't remember if I gave this testimony when I left the prayer room and I was able to pray for two people. Was it here? No. So I like to tell people that since I spend hours in the prayer room every day, or at least every week, I've never given my testimony so much. Because I feel impacted. I feel like I've encountered Christ and then I can share Christ. My early years of Christianity, it's going better now, was full of shame as to share the gospel. So this feeling of shame, weak, not relevant. And I'm not saying now it's perfect, but I'm saying there's a boldness. There is a liberty, a freedom, and there's a simplicity. I think that's maybe the aspect that I prefer, is simply talking with people. I'm going to testify or not, but being aware, okay, Jesus, we're doing this together, and then a door opens, can I pray for you, and on and on. So if people come to you and say, yeah, you're fasting, you're in the prayer room, but then you don't impact society, that's a lie. I believe that the more we engage in this vertical relationship, the more we are relevant in the horizontal. And even if we didn't, you know, there's the history of the monks or people who are praying. That is still a little bit of a mystery for me, but it's still okay. I don't have to judge that. But even if we were only doing that, there's a huge impact. As we sow in the heavens, the Lord sows on earth. Does that make sense? So it's important to know those things, because people will ask you, and the Bible tells us to be ready to justify, to explain our faith. So we want to be people who don't argue with words, but who have a clear declaration. Often we have these testimonies, I don't know what the person prayed for, blah, blah, blah. But what I remember is that person talked to God like he was beside him, like he was his friend. And just because, you know, people who know a little bit of the church, they're used to having a, we shall now engage with Jesus Christ. You know, they have this whole religious thoughts in their head. So just simply seeing how you can speak with your Father, with the Holy Spirit, like a friend, like someone who you actually believe is there, and you're not just repeating phrases, this touches the heart. Does that make sense? Okay, great. So now we're going to point seven, and I'm just going to read a bunch of sentences because I think they're beautifully written, and they come from the book that has impacted me the most in terms of fasting, and it's called The Rewards of Fasting by Dana Candler and Mike Bickle. And you can find it online. You can buy it, of course, or you can find it at the PDF version. Simply type The Rewards of Fasting, Bickle, and there's the PDF. So I highly encourage you to read that book. So let's just go over these sentences and you can fill in the blanks. God has designed us so that when we give ourselves to Him by fasting and praying the Word, our capacity to receive more of Him increases. Increases. No other dimension in the grace of God opens wide the deepest places of our beings, like fasting and and filling our hearts with the scriptures that emphasize the truths of Jesus as our bridegroom. Fasting serves as a catalyst to increase the depth and the measure to which we receive from the Lord. By fasting, we receive greater measures of revelation. At an accelerated pace, which has a deeper impact upon our hearts. One of the primary purposes of the bridegroom fast is to cause our hearts to move in love and longing for God. We do not fast in an attempt to make God pay attention to us, but to fully enter into the affection and presence of God that is already ours in Christ. It is not to move His heart, but to move our own. Our own heart, but you don't have space for own heart. Are you okay? Our hearts are prone to dullness and lethargy, and if we don't deliberately confront that dullness, we become D-D-U-U-L-L. We become hardened without realizing it. But Dahl was very good, Daniel. Excellent. Yes, absolutely. Come and get your sticker. It's a butterfly.
Yay. Feels good. And it's a big one, too.
A big one.
Right here.
Good boy. A hand for Daniel. F, the bridegroom fast. What does it do on our hearts if they're hardened? It starts like tendon. Tenderizes. It tenderizes. Yeah, that's a word. It tenderizes our hearts so dullness is diminished and we are able to experience the affections of God in greater measure. Our hearts become more tender and our desire is nurtured as we experience the pleasures of knowing Him. So as we are going through this teaching on fasting, I don't want to make you believe that it's easy, you know, or that now that you've received the teaching, it's just gonna happen and everyone's happy, okay? You have already been fasting in a way, okay? As Christians, we have already been fasting as we have chosen to follow Jesus. So we have said no to a lot of things. This is just like giving a new layer to it, or a new vision, or a new freshness, or a new, yeah, let's do it. It's legit, you know? Never let people call you religious because you're doing something for Jesus, okay? There are only very little cases where maybe you're religious. It can happen. But usually, it's people, when they see you fasting or doing things for Christ, they feel a sting in their flesh, and it provokes them. And because they are offended, that's how they react, by accusation. Okay? So it's not okay to just be called religious. Unless, you know, it's a spiritual father or mother and you need to deal with a few issues. That's okay. But when you do those disciplines, those spiritual disciplines for Christ, and you know, we all have stories where we started doing them and it was a little bit childish and we made mistakes or it was, you know, and then we adapted, and that's okay. Jesus is not just waiting at the end of the tunnel till you're good to go and perfect. He's in the tunnel with us. And He's oftentimes more interested in the process, in the growing, than the final result. So let no one call you religious because you want to read more of the Bible, sing more, not go to this place, not speak those words, not have this mindset of making fun or mocking. Never let that happen. Because that is a lie and it's a hindrance to your sanctification. Find like-minded people with the same DNA, hunger and thirst for Jesus. Feed on this communion with God and the secret place, and then impact the world. Usually Christians feed on people who are worldly and then they try to impact other Christians. But it's the other way where we feed on like-minded people pursuing God, and then we have opportunities because we pray, and then we have so much more impact. Does that make sense? So it's a matter of priority. If people come to you, yeah, it's both, it's vertical and horizontal. Yes, but there's still a priority. You start with the vertical. But then you can't love God if you don't love others. Okay, so it just goes together. Yes? Okay, point G. I emphasize that our desire for God is His love. Yeah, that's not wrong. But there's a higher gift. Who said gift? So it's a gift. So even like if you have no burden for fasting, or even if you don't, you know, love God or the spiritual, you can ask for that. Because even our hunger for God, like we can only love God if God gives us the love to love Him. We can't make up love. We're unable to love. So we need God to love God. And this is so helpful in our humanity. Because I'd say fasting is okay. It's maybe hard, but it's okay. But the desire to fast and the desire to have a vision for it. But once you grasp it, so we're all at different levels of revelation and growth. And so we ask for that desire to love. H, this works good things in us. He does not inflict meaningless heartache upon us, so we can be sure that this longing has a purpose. Spiritual is a divine agent. Spiritual hunger is a divine agent that leads us to greater love. It is an instrument that makes room for love and purity in our hearts and expands our souls. Great, so we're going to read these last quotes and truths on fasting. And if you have a question, you can just raise your hand. So we'll do kind of a Q&A, quick Q&A, and we don't have to go through all the letters. I think the importance maybe to answer questions. So, A, fasting is an act of love and obedience. It is a choice of voluntary weakness. B, a disciple has a discipline in fasting and is satisfied on the beauty of Jesus. So that's why we are called disciples of Christ. We're not partiers of Christ or disciples, discipline. Fasting is a muscle we practice. And I like this one. Fasting is feasting on Jesus. So instead of focusing on what we're not doing, we want to focus on what we're receiving. So fasting is feasting on Jesus. We seek higher pleasures, so we say no to lesser pleasures. Fasting is always voluntary. We are not checking on each other, no control. We are not less if we don't fast, okay? God is not, you know, happier or less happy. Of course, he loves it when you fast because he's calling you to fast, you know? So he loves it, but he doesn't love you more or less. That's very important. Especially when others don't fast and we fast, it's important not to go into pride. Okay, want to check our hearts. We're all weak and broken. F, difficulties from fasting come from our addictions to inferior and secondary pleasures. So of course it's hard to fast because we're so used to the comfort of this world. The group that killed Jesus fasted 2 days a week. Point G. The fasted lifestyle is not simply fasting every now and then. It locks us into a continuous resistance against the spirit of the age and the dullness that settles over our hearts. Fasting tenderizes, enlarges, illuminates, and strengthens our heart. We're unaware of how strong our flesh is until we say no to it. We can be very spiritual as long as we have everything we need and want.